So this summer, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm trying to think of what it is. We're in the Gospel of Mark, but we're going to be shifting back and forth from the Gospel of Mark to another topic. I thought what we could do this summer is, in addition to looking at Mark's Gospel, is we would take a Sunday or two now and then to refresh ourselves in what it is we believe, the doctrines that we hold dear to our faith, and what it is particularly that Christians believe about God, what it is Christians believe about Christ, what it is Christians believe about sin, what it is Christians believe about salvation. And so as we continue through the Gospel of Mark, we'll take breaks from the Gospel of Mark every now and then in order to refresh ourselves on what it is we believe about key Christian issues of faith. As a matter of fact, we're going to begin this morning. And I know this is completely contrary to my personality, but even I, the master of the whiteboard, even me, the user of the overhead projector, now that I have an iPad, am also able to use PowerPoint. Now, I know this is a huge step away from godliness for many of you, as it was for me, but nonetheless, here we are. And at my right, we have my trusty, beautiful, lovely assistant. But I wondered if you'd turn with me to the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. These are some of the last words that Jesus speaks before he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. You know them so well. As a matter of fact, we hear them every time that we observe that sacred rite of baptism. But read the words with me again, beginning in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You want to know something? That's one reason why I am a convinced and confident Southern Baptist, because I want you to see that there are only two things that the Lord commands his disciples to do. One of them is to baptize, and the other one is to teach. That's one reason why I am completely confident being a Southern Baptist, because of the role that we have in the sacred rite, the ordinance of baptism. But I want you to see the words with which baptism is associated. We are to go into all the nations, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see that although three names are mentioned, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the word name is singular. In other words, it's not baptizing them in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, this verse has come upon some very, very troublesome interpretations in our lifetime and in lifetimes that went far before us, except, you know, maybe for a few of you whose names shall remain, you know, unnamed, because we don't want to point out your antiquity. David. But nonetheless, this has caused huge problems. And so there is one group that considers itself to be Orthodox, as a matter of fact, one group and a couple of different flavors of this group that consider themselves to be Christian, that have a very, well, unique interpretation of Matthew 28. They believe that the name into which you're to be baptized is the name of Jesus. You're to be baptized into the name of Jesus because Jesus is and manifests himself as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, the name which you're to be baptized in is the name of Jesus. And you are to understand that Jesus alone is God, and that Jesus alone as God is, well, living out his existence among us, sometimes as the Father, sometimes as the Son, sometimes as the Spirit. But there is only one Jesus. But you're to understand that Jesus is the Father, that Jesus is the Son, and that Jesus is the Holy Spirit. We refer to this group, as a matter of fact, they call themselves the Jesus Only Movement, or Oneness, sometimes Pentecostals, or other names which are associated with this idea, with this belief, that God exists only as Jesus. That is the name into which you are to be baptized. But notice that Matthew 28:19 is based upon another baptismal text in the Gospel of Matthew. So keep a finger there in Matthew chapter 8 and come back with me to the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel. In the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we encounter the baptism of Jesus, which is, of course, the model for the baptisms of disciples of all nations. And in Matthew chapter 3, notice what happens at his baptism beginning in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice came from heaven and said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Notice that at the baptism of Jesus, Jesus is the one being baptized. But at the baptism of Jesus, there are two other persons present who are not Jesus. Jesus is the one being baptized, but there is a voice from heaven, which comes, of course, as the voice of the Father, who declares to the Son as he is being baptized that he is well pleased with what his Son is doing. And, of course, then there is also this Spirit that comes upon Jesus and lights upon him. And so notice that we are to understand Matthew chapter 28, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, based upon the presentation that is given us here in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus is not the name into which Matthew is referring that we should be baptized, because Jesus is only one of three present at the baptism. He is, notice, the Son. And the words of the Father are that this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Notice that Jesus is only the Son. He is not the Father. and he is not the Spirit. Because it is the Father who is speaking the words of verse 17. And a voice came from heaven, said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And notice that it is also that Jesus is not the Spirit, because the Spirit is the one who descends upon him like a dove lighting upon him. And so we are to understand Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are to understand the reference to the name here, not as the name of Jesus, but instead as simply the name God. We are to baptize them in the name of God, who exists eternally as the person of God the Father, along with the person of God the Son, along with the person of God the Holy Spirit. When we baptize, we are not baptizing in the name of Jesus, who exists as the Father and as the Son and as the Holy Spirit, but we are baptizing in the name of God, the one and only true God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who established the covenant with Moses and with Abraham and with David, the God who created the world and the God who is responsible for all things seen and unseen. We are to baptize in God's name, who exists eternally as three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there was a heretic in the early church right around the second century whose name was Praxius. I just like to say it. As a matter of fact, the name of his heresy was Praxianism. We have many names for his heresy. We call it Praxianism. We call it Patripassianism. We call it Modalism. We call it Modalistic Monarchianism. We have many names for the same heresies. I'm also thinking about naming it Kevinism. The reason why we have so many names for the same heresy is so that those of us who know all the names can feel superior to those of you who don't. So late at night, when I'm lying on my bed and I'm unable to sleep, I look up at the ceiling and I say, "Now, Jeff, why can you feel significant?" And the answer comes to me like out of a dream. And the answer is, because you know all the names for this heresy, and the people in the Sunburst class don't. Praxianism, Modalistic Monarchianism, we're simply going to refer to it by its most common name, Modalism. The reason why we're going to talk about Modalism this morning is because here is the sad news. It is probably the most popular heresy within evangelicalism today. Modalism exists in almost every church I know. I have heard modalistic prayers at Dallas Theological Seminary. I have heard modalistic prayers in some of the most amazing churches throughout the world. The fact is that modalism continues to exist within our churches. Sometimes because nobody has ever loved them enough in order to teach them the Christian biblical doctrine of God. And so people have gone home with the name of the Father and with the name of the Son and with the name of the Holy Spirit in their head, and they've put them all together into some kind of a picture that because no one has ever loved them enough in order to teach them the Christian doctrine of God, ends up being a view of a God who does not exist. Here is what Praxius taught. Praxius taught that God was one, but you needed to understand something else. Sometimes, and this is an early church father by the name of Tertullian telling us, sometimes Praxeus' aim has been to destroy the truth by defending it. I think we can get rid of this sidebar here somehow. There we go. Sometimes his aim has been to destroy the truth by defending it. That's an interesting statement. How does someone destroy the truth by defending it? Well, you see, if the truth is both A and B, if the truth is both A and B, and all you do all day long is talk about A, but you never talk about B, you're not defending the truth, you're destroying it. In other words, if God is one essence, one being, but three eternal persons who are separate from each other and distinct from each other, and all you do all day long is talk about the one God, you're destroying the truth of God, because God is not merely one essence, one being, but he also exists eternally as three persons. And so Tertullian is telling us that sometimes the devil destroys the truth under the guise, under the costume of defending it. He maintains that there is one only Lord, the Almighty Creator of the world. And to this we say amen. Absolutely. We believe that there is only one God, and that there is only one divine being. But you see, our view of God doesn't end with our belief that there is only one divine being. The Muslim faith can end there. You see, you can be a Muslim and simply believe that God is one. And you can be an unfulfilled Jew and simply believe that God is one. But you see, you cannot be a Christian and believe simply that God is one. Because Christians believe that not only is God one essence, not only is God one being, but God is also three eternally distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why whenever we baptize someone, we proclaim to the watching community and we proclaim to the person that we are baptizing our doctrine of God. And so we baptize in the name of the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the name recognizing that he exists as the person of God the Father, and that he exists as the person of God the Son, and that he exists of the person of God the Holy Spirit. You understand that every time we baptize, we are re-enunciating, we are restating, we are reminding each other of the distinctive view of God which Christians and Christians alone hold about who God really is. You see, Praxeus simply wants to affirm that God is one, the Almighty Creator of the world. And that's fine for Muslims, and that's fine for unfulfilled Jews, but it is not fine for Christians. But then the problem comes up for Praxeus. He says, okay, how do I account for the Father? How do I account for the Son? How do I account for the Spirit? If God is one, what do I do with these three names? If God is only one, what do I do with the Father? What do I do with the Son? What do I do with the Holy Spirit? Because if God is only one, and I've got these three names over here, then that can sound like there are, well, not one God, but three. And so Praxeus says, I know how I'll figure it out. I will teach that there is only one God, who simply manifests himself throughout history at one moment as this father dude. That was actually Praxius's term. You thought the hippies in the 1960s came up with it. It was actually Praxius in the 3rd century. And we'll believe that sometimes he acts as the father. Sometimes he acts as the son. Sometimes he acts and manifests himself as the spirit. That's what I'll do. That's the way in which I'll preserve the belief in one God, but teach and also proclaim responsibility to these three, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so here is what Praxius does. He says that the Father himself came down into the Virgin, was himself born of her, himself suffered, indeed was himself Jesus Christ. In other words, for Praxius and for most modalists, there is only one God and there is only one person who is that God, the Father. And the Father is the one who at a particular moment in history in the first century came down and planted himself in the Virgin. So that it was the Father who came down and was within the Virgin, that it was the Father who took on flesh, that it was the Father who was born of Mary, that it was the Father who died upon the cross, that it was the Father who became Jesus Christ. And so there was a period in history in which the one God, who is only the Father, became and did all the things that the Son did. He put on flesh. He was born of Mary. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And so here is the heresy of Praxius. Here is the heresy of modalism. Modalism believes that there is only one God, yes, but that one God exists only as one person, the Father. And the Father, at a particular moment in history, became and took on the role of the Son. And at another particular moment in history, at Pentecost, for instance, took on the role and the appearance of the Spirit. But that there are not three eternal persons who coexist together eternally. For Praxius and for the modalist, God does not exist as the one essence, the one being God, who eternally exists as three separate, distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the modalist declares that it was the Father who took on flesh. It was the Father who died for us on the cross. It was the Father who was born of the Virgin Mary. So here's the really sad part. You have probably heard the prayer of a modalist at some time in your Christian life. And the prayers of modalists are usually the result of the fact that no one has ever loved someone enough in order to teach them how to conceive of the only God who exists and therefore how to speak of the God who exists. You have probably heard this prayer. I've heard them at Dallas Seminary. I've heard them in some of the best churches in the country. Here is how a modalist will pray. Father, he'll begin the prayer with. Father, thank you for dying for us on the cross. Father, thank you for dying for us on the cross. You see, here is the sad, sad thing. The Father never died for you on the cross. The Father sent his Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who took on human flesh, who was delivered into the hands of Joseph in the manger, who grew up and taught the Pharisees and the scribes within the temple, who endured the passion that led to his crucifixion. It was the Son of God who existed eternally with the Father that became human and that died for us on the cross. And it wasn't the Father who came at Pentecost. It wasn't the Father who came from heaven at Pentecost and came upon the 40 who were in the room and gave them the ability to prophesy and to speak in tongues in fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. That was the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who has eternally existed with the Father and the Son from all eternity. You will hear, if you haven't heard already, a modalistic prayer, which begins with the conception that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all kind of jumbled together. And it doesn't matter how you conceive of them, it doesn't matter how you speak of them. All that matters is that you, well, have invited Jesus into your heart. I may cheat at Monopoly and I may cheat at poker, but I'm being straight with you this morning. It really matters how you conceive of God. It really matters how you conceive of God. And it really matters how you speak about Him, because how you speak about Him will reveal and manifest and demonstrate what you are believing about Him. You will probably hear another modalistic prayer. It starts off with the person addressing the Father in prayer, and then somewhere later in the prayer, he'll address the Lord. So he'll go from addressing the Father to addressing the Lord to addressing God to addressing Jesus to addressing God to addressing Father, Lord, God, Jesus Christ, Lord, Father, Father, Lord, God, God, Lord, Jesus. And then he will close his prayer by saying, "In your name we pray." Whose name? The Father's name? The Lord's name? God's name? Jesus' name? I don't know. In whose name did Jesus specifically teach us to pray? Whose name did Jesus particularly teach us to pray in? His name, Jesus' name. Ask whatever you will in my name. You see, remember the Lord's Prayer that we spent quite a bit of time on this spring. Our prayers are to be addressed to the Father in the name of the Son, who intercedes and who mediates our prayers to the Father. You see, it really matters how you conceive of God. Many of us suffer from what I call the God as glob view. The God as glob view. You see, God is just this one thing up there who you can call just about anything. You can call Him Lord, Father, Yahweh, Jesus, Spirit, Master, Friend, and you can apply all of these names indistinguishably to God, because it doesn't matter, because all the names apply to the same being. But not all the names apply to the same being. Different names apply only to certain persons. We apply the name Father to the eternal person of God the Father. We apply the term and the name Son to the eternal person of God the Son. We apply the name Spirit to the eternal person of God the Spirit. You see, whether at the baptism of Jesus, whether at the creation of the world, whether at Pentecost, or whether at any other moment in history you can name, God is acting. We as Christians confess that God has always been acting and always has existed as one essence, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Notice how it is that the Apostle Paul introduces his book of Romans. Come with me to the first chapter of the book of Romans, and notice how from the very beginning of the book of Romans, Paul wants you to understand that his gospel is a Trinitarian gospel. The gospel is a Trinitarian gospel. Paul, he begins to write, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son. Notice then that in verse 1, God that Paul is referring to is God the Father. Paul's gospel is the gospel of God the Father, which regards his Son. Notice that God the Father is a person different and separate from the person of his Son, which the gospel is regarding. It regards his Son, who as to his human nature, notice that the human nature was the Son's human nature and not the Father's, who according to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice that the Spirit declared the Son of God to be the Son of God. Notice that the gospel concerns all three persons of the Godhead. Our gospel, our good news, is the good news that God the Father has sent God the Son to become human in every way like us, yet without sin, to be crucified on the cross, to be raised from the dead, and that the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, witnessed and declared that Jesus Christ the Son was indeed the Son of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, as Baptists, we do not hold the view of God which the Muslim holds. The Muslim can believe in a God who is simply one person, and they can call him Allah. We do not join the unfulfilled Jew, because the unfulfilled Jew can believe in one God who doesn't exist as three eternal persons, and we do not join the unfulfilled Jew either. As Christians, we have a distinctive doctrine of God. And our distinctive doctrine of God, our distinctive gospel, is that the one God who exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit took place in this world when God the Father sent his Son to become human, to die and to be raised, and when the Holy Spirit, who existed eternally with the Father and the Son, witnessed unto Jesus Christ and declared that he was indeed, by the resurrection, the Savior of the world for which the world had been waiting. We have a view of God which other mainline world religions do not join us in. And if a person believes that there is only one God who exists as one person, And whether that one person is Jesus or whether that one person is the Father, please understand that God does not exist. There is no God who exists only as one essence, as one being who is only one person, whether you call that one person the Father or whether you call that one person Jesus. The belief in one being who exists as one person is a belief in a God who does not exist. The only God that there is one divine being who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, and eternal, and who exists eternally as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is what a Christian, that is what a Baptist believes about God. And so, Father, we declare that you and the Son and the Spirit together share all there is of deity. Each of you fully is all-powerful. Each of you fully is not limited by time. Each of you fully is not limited by space. Each of you fully is not limited in power. And we confess that you three have existed eternally in eternal loving fellowship with each other. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we worship the three of you together as the one true God. And we echo with the writings of the Old Testament that we should hear, for the Lord our God is one. And we echo with the other scriptures as we declare together that the Lord our God is also three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Would you empower us by the Spirit this week to believe and to conceive of you in accordance with the Scriptures? And would you help us to speak to others the faith in you that we hold dear in our hearts? We ask it in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. Amen.